Hi, I'm Alex Howard, and welcome to this week's episode of In Therapy, where we follow real-life people on their therapeutic journeys. Therapy is hard work, and if you've been following this series since the beginning, you've seen people really have to dig deep and commit to their therapeutic journey. But this week's episode is a powerful example of what can change, what can transform when we really put in the work. If you haven't already, please do like, subscribe, click the bell icon to be notified as new episodes are released, and do follow my Instagram at Alex Howard Therapy for daily inspiration and support. This week, we catch up with 22-year-old Sanaya, who has been making great progress reducing her anxiety. In previous sessions, I've been helping Sanaya to develop her toolkit to work with her anxiety so that she can retrain her nervous system and be free to live the life she is so desperate to enjoy.
Sanaya, it's lovely to see you. How are you doing?
Yeah, I've been okay, up and down kind of. But yeah, I've been on the whole in the past couple of weeks, I'd say, like, doing okay.
Yeah.
I've been like really unmotivated a lot. And yeah, I've just been really kind of lazy, lying in bed, not doing much and feeling a bit crap about it after.
Okay.
But yeah, it's the past couple of weeks have just, it's just been really up and down. I've had like really good days and then followed by like three really bad days and then, back and forth really.
And when you say bad days, you mean in terms of motivation or you mean in terms of anxiety or both? Or?
It's probably a little bit of both. I would say I've had like a whole day where I've just felt really unmotivated, but I wouldn't say that I've necessarily been anxious.
Okay.
Whereas I would say before these sessions, if there was any day that I did nothing the whole day, it would have made me really anxious.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know if that's a good thing.
Well, here's one way we can look at it. There's different ways, right, of working with anxiety. And I think a key part of it has been learning some of the tools, having a different understanding, but also you were somewhat placating your anxiety by being really busy. And I'm seeing it as a real sign of progress that you've been able to not be busy and your anxiety hasn't significantly climbed.
Yeah.
So it shows that the improvements in your anxiety are not just down to going from having lots of time to not having enough time to think about it and just being distracted, that there's actually a more fundamental shift in a sense that's been happening, which is great. Obviously, we can talk about the motivation and how to get that on track.
Yeah.
But if you were to sort of take, before we were working together, like 0 to 10, 10 being the most anxious, 0, where you were on average then and where you are now, how would you score that?
Yeah, so definitely before, I would say I fluctuated between like a 5 and a 10 constantly. Mm-hmm. I think the only time that I was ever really below that was probably when I was like asleep or something. Mm. I don't really know. But yeah, it was quite bad before. And then I'd say now I do have days where I do feel like it could be a 10.
Mm-hmm.
So the other day, I'd say about probably a week ago, it was because I had, so there are these little tablets that I take before I go to the gym, which like caffeine.
Okay.
And I felt like they give me the perfect amount of caffeine because if I have a whole coffee, I get anxious.
Okay.
So on this day, I took 2 of the tablets just because it was really early in the morning. I was like, I'm really tired. Let me just... So I went to the gym, had my workout. And then afterwards, as soon as I was done, all of a sudden I was really shaky. I just had like such a big like anxiety attack, I would say.
Because there was just too much cortisol.
And it just felt like, obviously that feeling of being anxious, like everything was wrong. I couldn't place my finger on exactly what.
At the time, had you realized it was because you had double the amounts?
Yeah, definitely.
But you still had the feeling, right?
It, yeah, and yeah. I was like, and it was horrible because I was like, hey, like, what would I do? Okay, let me go for a run. And I felt like I wanted to go for a run and move, like, my body.
Try and burn it off a bit.
Yeah, but I just felt so, like, unwell, like I was going to be sick. So it was just really, really horrible. And then after that, I was sick. And then the next day, and then after that, I felt fine. And after I was sick, I felt just a lot better. And then I had a big lunch and I just kind of conked out. And I think I needed that.
Yeah.
And then the day after, I had this feeling of anxiety again. And I did the stop process quite a few times throughout my morning.
Well done.
Yeah. And then later on, I just felt really unwell again. So I made myself sick, which was like, yeah, it was just really annoying because I was just like, damn.
Did it make a difference?
Yeah, it stopped me from being anxious.
And were you feeling sick before?
Yeah, like I was feeling unwell because of the anxiety. Like it was making me feel really nauseous.
Okay.
So I thought any moment I'm going to be sick anyway. So I may as well just try and like speed it up. And then obviously when I did make myself sick afterwards, I felt a lot better. And it was kind of like this feeling of like, ooh, I don't know, I felt like naughty. But yeah, it wasn't ideal.
When's the last time you'd done that before that?
Like so many months ago.
Yeah.
I think there was that one time where I came home after a night out.
Yeah,
and I
you said, yeah.
Which was probably a month ago or something. Yeah. But then before that, it's been like 6, 7, 8 months, I guess. But it was funny because...
And has it happened since then?
Since
that time.
Since last week?
Yeah.
No, it hasn't. But it was kind of weird because doing it wasn't really about my body image at all. But then after I had done it, for a couple of days after, I was like, don't do that again.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, like these feelings of like, oh, like maybe I should because like I'm like looking really big today. Which was just so weird because I've like probably lost weight from the last time that I ever felt that. So yeah, that was just really annoying.
But were you able to, because the way you're describing it sounds like that happened and it was tricky while it was happening, but you were able to recognize and go, I'm not going to do it again because I'm not going to let this become a cycle again, and then stop?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just kind of scared for the next time that I get really anxious because I feel like now I'm like, oh, if I feel that bad, I know that it's like a quick fix kind of thing.
Well, I think the first time it happened in that couple of days, it sounds like that you'd effectively OD'd on caffeine.
Yeah.
Right? There was just too much caffeine in your system. Yeah. That it sounds, not that I'm advocating... But the first time, did you make yourself sick, or you said you knew it, you felt like you were going to be sick, so you made yourself sick to preempt it in a sense?
Yeah, both the times.
Yeah, both times. Sick. Yeah. So it's not that I'm advocating that as a strategy. I think it isn't a helpful strategy. And the real lesson here is don't double dose your caffeine.
Yeah, I'm not doing
right
that
because it's just, we know we all have our different limits of how our body responds, and some people, like I've got a friend of mine who can literally drink. Like we go away together sometimes, and he would literally get a saucepan and fill it with coffee, like full strength coffee, and down the whole thing.
Yeah.
And there are other people, it's like they have a tiny sip and they can't sit still for 2 days.
Yeah.
And we just have different tolerances and different ways of responding. And it sounds like you've worked out a dose that for you seems to work okay, but you had too much and you had a reaction to that. So I would frame that couple of days more about the lesson is that, not overly fixating on the being sick.
No, definitely. I know why it happened. But yeah, no, I feel like it's something that I can control.
Yeah. Well, we can come back to that. Just in terms of the question of if you were to rate on a 0 to 10 anxiety as a general thing these days. So there's still days you can go to 10.
Yeah.
But it sounds like that's happening a lot less than it was happening before.
Yeah.
If you were to kind of, like rate the range or give yourself a sort of average score, where would you put it?
I would say even a 5. Like usually I would just get to a 5 and that would be my most anxious, and even that would kind of...
So it'd be like a 0 to a 5 rather than a 5 to a 10.
Yeah.
With the possibility that, like on that day, it sounds like it went really high.
The occasional 10.
But is it kind of, I'm trying to remember my math, is it like a median? You remember like math that was like mean, median, and like, I don't remember.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a long
the median
time
was like the middle.
Was the middle,
think,
right?
Yeah.
And there was also the range.
I should remember this. But.
It's not so many years away for you. We're talking like 25 or something years. But it sounds like there's a significant, overall, there is a significant shift. And
yeah,
I'm particularly interested into what you think have been the key things that have helped that. So obviously we've talked, you've learned some tools, you've had some reflections. Like if you were describing to a friend who was anxious the things that you feel have helped the most so far, what would you say?
Definitely meditation. That's helped me a lot. Even like the stop process and having that little meditation with that as well. It's just kind of kept me like this the whole way through
like
my
day. It's kind of lowered your baseline, like your baseline of where you are has come down from a 5 to a 0 in a sense.
So that's helped, I think, the most is meditation. I think it's just kind of anything that kind of gets me out of my head and puts me into my body. So like obviously exercise, and I've been going for walks a lot more. Mm. Haven't been listening to music or anything. I've just been like looking about. Mm. And like usually when I would do that, I'd be like just thinking.
Right.
But because I'm like looking around a lot more and just, I don't know, focusing on my feet and like my steps. And I think the reason why I did that was actually because it was like a meditation that I'd listened to whilst I was walking.
Right.
And then now I've just learned to do it without the podcast thing.
So you're actually more in the moment as opposed to walking but your mind's off, off somewhere else.
Yeah. But then obviously I have moments where I do get in my head and I kind of am thinking about something in the past or in the future, and it's like it's really hard to bring myself back to where I am now. But then meditation is like where that's actually helped a lot, because then I'm like, okay, I can like in 5 minutes I'll go upstairs and do some sort of meditation. That's definitely been the thing that's helped the most and kind of like, yeah, just kept me kind of a little bit sane.
Yeah. No,
throughout like my
And it's
days.
Given you a stability in a sense. And how consistent are you these days with doing your meditation?
So the past couple of days, so since Monday, I've done it every day. On Monday I did it like twice. And then the week before, I probably hadn't done it for like a week.
So, and that was the week the motivation was particularly tricky.
Yeah. I think I had done it once, but it was because I was like, okay, I'm feeling anxious. Let me try and meditate. I haven't meditated for a few days. Like, let me try and sort it out.
And was that also the week that you were sick last week?
Yeah, it was.
How many days had you not meditated for before you had that tricky couple of days?
I'm guessing it must be like around 5. It was... something like that. Yeah, quite a few days I hadn't, because I think I had, after our last session, I had kept it up for a week.
Yeah.
Watched some of the videos and then it just stopped.
And then did you feel in those 5 days that you were gradually rising up in your anxiety as well? So I'm wondering how much of it was you were at a calm foundation, you had like a massive hit of caffeine and just the system sort of went crazy, or you were already sort of rising and it just fueled a rise that was already there?
Yeah, I would probably say I was, like, I wasn't extremely anxious, but yeah, I definitely wasn't happy.
Yeah, okay. And you weren't as grounded as you had been, it sounds like, in the
I was definitely more in my head, for sure.
Yeah, okay.
But I wasn't necessarily super, super anxious. But yeah.
Well done for getting back on track, by the way. It's like, you know, from my point of view, I'm sure they exist, but I haven't met the person who took up meditation and didn't miss a day for like forever.
Yeah.
Like, of course, there's going to be times where you forget or you're too busy. And it's really easy when we go off track to then go further off track, like to go, oh, it doesn't work anyway, and I can't do it, and what's the point? And I knew it'd always be like that. And all those old stories come in, and then we just slip further and further away. And the real key, which is what you did, is to go, hang on, I'm feeling more anxious. I know this is going to help me. And you get things back on track and back in place. So, so well done for doing that.
Yeah, thanks. It was.
Are
also,
you giving yourself credit for that as well?
Yeah, it was good. Also because I knew this was coming up. And I was like, hey, I actually need to get back to being normal. So yeah,
it's something about accountability sometimes.
Yeah,
as well,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah. But yeah, I do feel like this week I feel like a lot better.
Talk me through what happens where things went off track. So if we go back a few weeks. Where the motivation slipped and the kind of meditation slipped and what happened?
So I was unwell and I think maybe that was it.
Unwell with like a cold?
Oh yeah, I had a really bad cold. And yeah, I was just like in bed for a lot of it. And even though I was like, oh, I just want to leave the house and like get out. Yeah, I think it still...
Body said no.
Yeah, exactly. But it's still, I think once I had recovered, I was still kind of just a bit lazy and I guess a bit like tired all the time.
Yeah.
And I think like recently I still have been really tired and like I've been sleeping like 12 hours in a night.
Wow. Wow.
And then I'll wake up and I'll go out and I'll try and keep myself busy and then I'll come home and nap. Yeah. And I don't know if it's just my body like, recovering from the flu.
There seems to be a lot of that stuff going around at the moment.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people that have had colds or flus that haven't really got it anymore, but they're not bouncing back. And I think part of it is because we've all been in quarantine for the best part of 2 years, our immune systems are a bit sensitive and also the bugs are a bit stronger. So I think it's entirely plausible that tiredness is literally just your body still bouncing back.
I also think that's could be why I didn't get anxious was because the aftermath of me like being unwell and sitting in bed, I was just kind of like, oh, I'm still recovering in my head. And maybe that's why I didn't feel guilty about doing nothing.
But it could be, but I also think if you've got anxiety, you got anxiety, right? And before, well, we rephrase that. If you've got anxiety and it's running the show, you've got anxiety, it's running the show. You can be anxious at home with friends, with a cold, in the gym, like anxiety is running the show.
Yeah.
You've had a shift and you've got more tools, you've got more understanding, your system is calmer, you're in a different place. So it also makes sense that you can not be well for a few days or a week or two, and there's no reason why the anxiety should be worse in that situation because you've made some shifts in terms of what's happening.
Yeah.
One of the things we talked about on our second session was the anxiety about anxiety, like the kind of fear of anxiety happening, like that in a sense it had the power because it was this kind of unknown, uncontrollable thing.
Yeah.
And as we talked about in our last few sessions, that it's increasingly become different. You have more of a sense of influence and control. And I'm wondering, having been through the kind of few weeks that you've been through where you've not been well, you went off track a little bit, you didn't go to the gym for a while, you stopped meditating for a bit. And actually, apart from a few incidents, which were a bit tricky, but even then you managed to get back on track, you are in this different place.
Yeah, definitely.
I wonder how you feel about that. Like, does it, because in a sense, fear, anxiety about anxiety makes it worse.
Yeah.
Knowing that it's not something that you need to fear, also innovate, there's nothing more calming the knowing that you've got some control over what's happening.
Yeah.
So I'm also interested about how that feels.
Yeah, it feels really good to know that I'm just a lot more happier. And it was just kind of, before it was just like this thing that I was like constantly living with. Like, I don't know how to explain it, but it was just, it was just something that I was just living with the whole time, like something that's on my back or something.
Right.
And now I just don't feel like that at all. Even when it comes and goes, I know that it is just coming and going kind of thing. So I've been like so much happier. And even when I do have those moments, or like I feel a little bit low or something like that, I kind of like do think back to when I've, you know, anxiety basically like took over everything. And it like, it makes me feel so much better, feel really, really good. It's such a good feeling, definitely.
Yeah, I'm really pleased to hear that. Yeah. And I think it, in a sense, that in of itself has a big impact on calming things down, because you're not living in this place of what if this and what if that. It's like, well, if I have anxiety, I know what to do.
Yeah.
And I'm less likely to have it. And if I have it, it'll pass, sort of thing.
Yeah.
How are you getting on with your stop process at this point? It's that you were saying that when you had the double caffeine dose, that you were using it to help calm things. Overall, talk me through the kind of the good and the bad of how you're getting on with that.
So I haven't been doing it as like often as I had been before. When I had that moment where I was really anxious, it helped me kind of very, very briefly. It helped me like come back into myself and just like have a moment of like having some deep breaths and stuff. It was just something that I just haven't kept up with. Mm. And I don't really know why. I don't know if it's just simply just because I just haven't and I just can't be bothered. When I do get anxious, I still do use it, but I guess it's not as...
So you're using it more reactively than proactively.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Whereas before I was like keeping up with it, and I felt like it was a meditation that was helping me stay calm throughout the day. Now I just do it as a result of feeling anxious, and then it kind of helps that it doesn't like get rid of the problem.
Yeah.
I think that's maybe something that I definitely want to start up again. This week. Yeah.
How about those particular instances like going out and the people pleasing pattern and wanting to kind of keep friends happy, but your sister happy and your mum happy? And how's that been?
It's actually been okay. I've kind of found like a good balance where I have thought a lot more about like, oh, what I want to do. It's been quite nice because I've just, for some reason, I've just felt a lot less guilty about it.
Hmm.
Going out and meeting my friends, if I don't want to, I do feel guilty when I message them like, oh, I can't come out. But it doesn't really bother me that much anymore. As much as it did, it would really like, oh, I'm missing out. And, you know, I get kind of in my head like about it. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like I care a bit less about things.
Do you know, again, I'm curious as to why.
Yeah, I don't know. I think maybe it was literally just speaking about it the last session. And I was just like, I don't know. I was just thinking about it a lot more. And I think whenever anything had happened or someone had asked me to do something, I was like really thought about, okay, do I actually want to do this?
Yeah.
And I think that's why it's kind of made a change, it's kind of switched a bit. Now I do actually just go out when I want to. I do still.
And with your mum and your sister, how's that been?
I feel less. My sister's back at school, and like she's been doing her own things. And actually, there's been weekends where she's been away, So it's kind of helped in a way, whereas before I felt like she was home all the time and I just felt bad. She's got her own life and she's actually fine. My mum, the only issue is, you know, going out, and she's kind of calmed down quite a bit than before. So
did you have that conversation with her?
I had the conversation, but it was because I was going out.
Okay.
So I didn't actually sit down with her, but in my head, when I thought about doing it, I just know exactly what she's going to say. She's just, I feel like she'll just be like, Snai, like, don't be, I'm literally your mother. You can't tell me to not worry. I'm obviously going to worry. No matter how like calmly I said it or when I said it or whatever, I just know she will have that reaction. But I've been like, every time I've gone out recently, I've been like, okay, so this is what I'm doing. I'm coming home with this person. Then I'm going to get an Uber from that place to here. And then I'll track it with her. And right. so she feels a lot better about that. But the only thing is she just waits up.
Yeah.
But I guess I just can't stop her. I mean,
that's her prerogative,
that.
Right? Yeah. It's like, the important thing is that you don't feel guilty because she's doing that, because that is her choice to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, sometimes she does, like the next day, if it's been a late one, she does say, you know, like, I was waiting all night for you and all this. And I was like, yeah, but I didn't tell you to.
Yeah.
I told you not to do that. Just go to bed. And then she just rolls her eyes. so I feel like
it's a really tricky one. It's,
yeah.
It's like, as a parent, I get it. And then as your therapist, I totally get it.
Yeah.
It's like, it's just, you know, and I think it's one of those ones that if you weren't living at home,
yeah.
it would be a non-issue because you wouldn't know when you're out anyway, and it sort of would be what it would be. The
yeah.
challenge is because you are there, then she feels responsible, and then, you know, it's just one of those sort of wicked problems that doesn't have a sort of easy solution to it. But I think
yeah.
the thing is, you have to feel free to, as long as you're doing it basically responsibly, which you are, mm. that you have to be free to enjoy your life within respectful ways of the, you know, being in her house.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think when she does say that now, I am like, in my head, I do feel a little bit guilty, but I'm like, at the end of the day, you did it.
You made that
and,
choice.
Yeah. Yeah. And I do think about my friends, and they go back at crazy times, and,
yeah.
you know, their parents are fast asleep. So I'm like, you know, it's her choice.
Yeah.
So.
And it's not letting her choice make you feel bad and
yeah.
feel guilty.
Yeah, you know. I think before it,
because if she is
going
to stay up, but, you
yeah.
have got a responsibility to at least have a good time.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's like she's staying up
point?
For no point. You know?
yeah, no, exactly. But yeah, no, now I'm just like, it's, you know, it's fine. It is what it is. And I'm hoping that after a while of, once she's got used to me going back out again and all of that, hoping she'll just kind of get used to it. And
well, I wonder if also part of it is that she probably picks up on you being anxious about going out. So
yeah.
the calmer that you are, the more that's going to install in her that sense of safety. You know, it's almost like the reverse of an attachment for like a baby. Like the more safe mum feels, the more able baby is to go off and explore and discover and then
yeah.
come back. It's sort of the inverse here, that it's like the more calm you are, the more mum's able to let you go off and sort of do,
yeah.
do your thing
yeah.
as well.
No, it's definitely when I'm a little bit anxious about getting home because I actually don't know what my plan is.
Yeah, and then that feeds all of her concern. Mate.
Yeah.
Even if you're not telling her, I'm sure she can energetically feel
yeah.
it because she's your mum and that's her job to be tuned in.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah, no, it helps, I think, both of us when I do have a plan. So,
yeah.
yeah.
So you've got some structure and you've got some focus.
Yeah.
The daily meditation is obviously really important.
Yeah.
And it sounds like that's back on track.
Yeah.
The regular gym is really important.
Yeah.
That's also back on track.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about kind of bringing the stop process back in a bit more.
Yeah.
And I think that would be good.
Mm.
It might also be, you know, the stop process is not just for working on anxiety. It's also for working with the inner critic. It's also for working with motivation. It's also for working with sort of self-esteem. Like, I'm wondering about what are some of the self-doubt thoughts or some of the critical thoughts that come in, like as you're putting yourself out there and you're applying for jobs and you're kind of meeting people, what's some of the stuff that you say to yourself that's not so helpful?
Just like when I'm applying for jobs, it's like, oh, why am I doing this? I'm not going to get it anyway. And then, yeah, like meeting people. Sometimes I can be like a bit critical, like, oh, I hope they like me. Oh, I hope I'm not being too much. Or, yeah, just like panicking about what I have said. Like, oh, should I have said that? Or I don't know, even if it's nothing, completely
yeah.
nothing.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think I'm like still constantly like, reviewing myself.
Yeah. So there's like a self-questioning, self-doubting kind of
yeah.
answer, right? And it's not that that is always wrong. Like sometimes looking back on something and reviewing, like doing an interview and looking back and reviewing your performance, going, actually, could have said that, I meant to say that wasn't so good. But there's a difference between doing that and doing that with a layer of judgment. right? Yeah. So it's like, you know, I can look back on, I don't know, teaching a tutorial on, you know, for the training course. And I can look back and go, oh, I feel like I missed a cue there. I feel like I probably talked too much, enough space for questions there. I probably should have given that person didn't speak. I should have brought that person forward a bit. So I can review my performance.
Yeah.
But that's different to going, oh my God, I did a really shit job. I'm really crap at this. I should like, so you can be objective without the judgment.
Yeah.
And often the judgment makes it harder to be objective. So using the stop process on the judgment piece, I think would be really helpful. Okay. And that's not to say that there aren't times you want to kind of reflect and sort of try to get better at thinking when you're kind of learning and trying to improve, but the judgment doesn't help. The judgment just makes us feel defensive or makes us feel like we're crap and feel less motivated ultimately.
Yeah.
So what are some of the ways that you would judge yourself in that instance? So let's say, for example, that you've met someone for the first time on a promo job, and you were chatting and you were sort of afterwards you were reflecting on the conversation. What were some of the things that you would say to yourself that would be judgmental or critical?
I would just like cringe and like, I would just, yeah, just tell myself not to say anything again. And like,
right.
Yeah, just stop talking. And then I'd be really conscious about how I look as well.
Okay.
That always like, yeah, that always like comes into it. I'm like, I don't know. I just feel like I don't think there's like a specific thought, but I'm just like, oh, like you look like such an idiot or like something like that.
Right. So that's definitely an inner critic. Right?
Yeah, definitely.
Like you look like an idiot or you shouldn't have said this or just don't speak or.
Yeah. And I always like picture myself like as someone else. So I'm like, oh God, like what would they have thought?
What they're thinking of you.
Yeah.
So and you're then, projecting your inner critic onto them.
Yeah.
So you're imagining that they're, because the thoughts you think they're having are actually your inner critic's thoughts.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? It's like, so you're taking your inner critic, you're projecting it onto them, and then it becomes almost more legitimate because, oh, well, that's what they're thinking about you. But it's just your inner critic having another way of attacking you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because 99% of those situations, they're probably far too busy criticizing themselves than they are to have time to criticize you.
Oh, yeah.
And if they're the things that other people observe about us, most people are inherently kind and good in the way that they see other people. Of course, we all get cranky and grumpy and have bad days and, you know, just want to kind of bitch and moan about everyone. But
yeah.
Generally, people are not cruel and unkind. It's just they do it towards themselves.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I do get you. Yeah, it's just kind of something in my head. I'm like, oh, they do think that.
Yeah.
And then obviously it is me, but
yeah.
No, I get you.
That would be a really good one to use a stop process on.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you were using it before in a more kind of proactive way, as opposed to just using it when the kind of anxiety was rising, were you doing it at the end of after your meditation, or did you have a particular point in the day you were doing it?
It was kind of, sometimes I would do it before my meditation, and then sometimes I would just kind of do it randomly. And then if there was a moment where I felt like really like busy, I would like then do it. Yeah. So it just depends. Like sometimes I would do it before my meditation. I'd never really do it after.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So how about for the next week as an initial experiment, working on the inner critic for a little bit before your meditation each day?
Yeah.
So sitting down and almost noting in that moment, what are the ways that your inner critic, like are you judging yourself, criticizing yourself in that moment? Or have you been like replaying a conversation from yesterday? Or are you anticipating something later? Just noticing some of those examples and then using your stop process with them.
Yeah.
Does that make sense how you do that?
Yeah, definitely.
I think you're already doing a lot of things really well. I think that would be another piece just to sort of calm down that, because it also just makes it easier to put yourself out there. It makes it easier to look almost look forward to interviews, to just I'm going to do my best and see what happens, as opposed to having that kind of layer of judgment that comes in. And I totally get the pattern of I'm not going to get it as a form of self-protection. And you don't know. Like you might.
Yeah.
And that's why part of your job is to work on that pattern of telling yourself that you're rubbish.
Yeah.
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 And that's, and that, just like calming the anxiety and just like working on your motivation, if you put your focus on doing that, you will absolutely have some shift with that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. Any questions you've got?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think I've got any questions.
Okay, good. And you're clear on your homework?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Good. Well, tonight, well done.
Thank you.
I'm really, really pleased to see the progress. I think you're doing the work, and the work is working. So keep going.
Okay, thank you.
Great. You're welcome.
I hope you found this week's episode helpful. I think this week's episode is a powerful example of the power of the tools. We have to commit, and therapy is hard work. Often people come into therapeutic work because they want things to be different. They don't always want to commit to doing the work to change. And as a practitioner, it's always deeply rewarding when people show up and they do that work, as Tanaya has been doing. And if we really build the foundations, we can, of course, life happens. We catch a cold, or we get distracted and we go off track. But the foundation is strong enough that we can get ourselves back on track and keep things moving forwards. So my invitation to you is to really reflect on, how committed have you been to your inner work? Could you raise your game? If you really invested in yourself, what could become possible? I'd love to hear your reflections in the comments below. I look forward to seeing you again next week.